This would be a larger Buddha. This one is plain bronze and in black, quite large, perhaps 30 feet tall. Of course, he has the orange sash. This is an image of Buddha that I found particularly impressive because he has the backlight, and he also has a lot of different knickknacks and things in front of him. And this slide would be of a more typical, if you go to a temple, say, in any village around Thailand, they would have a Buddha who's, where the image of Buddha is roughly the height of a person, but then he's up on a pedestal. And you'll have a few things in front of him. The building will be an open floor, say 30 feet by 30 feet, where people stand in the, or people sit in the half in front of the Buddha. And they, of course, keep their feet pointed away from him. And it's fairly plain, at least on the interior. The opposite extreme was when we were in the royal palace and we visited where the Emerald Buddha was. Again, no pictures were allowed, so we don't have a picture of it. The Jade Buddha, who is called, and I guess he's called the Emerald Buddha, he's about 3 feet tall and carved from a single piece of jade, which makes him, because of the size of that one piece of jade, makes it quite valuable. Anyway, they found the Jade Buddha, say, a couple of hundred years ago when a Buddhist monk was repairing a plaster Buddha, and they looked in a crack and they saw, oh my, there's something inside, and they dug away and found that inside it was a Jade Buddha. What they presumed was happening is that he was made around 1200, he was carved around 1200 A.D., and then an invading army was coming in, and so what he was, the Jade Buddha was put inside of a plaster Buddha, and all records of it were destroyed, so they don't know where it came from, but the Emerald Buddha has become very closely tied with the Thai spirit of nationalism, and so he's the equivalent of their crown jewels, and there was a period of 100 years or so where the Emerald Buddha resided in some other country, and the Thai people weren't very happy about it, and they finally got it back. So anyway, in the royal temple, which is where the king goes to worship and meditate, they have the Emerald Buddha, and this particular Buddha is kept on a sort of pillar like that and pedestal, except it's so tall, it's like you don't get within 50 or 60 feet of him, because you have 40 feet away from him, you're 40 feet away from him, measured on the floor, and he's 40 feet up. And all the way in between, he's on this pyramid of religious brickwork, similar to the one you see in this slide, but just on and on and on. And at the very top of this pinnacle, you know, which is quite a distance away, you have the 3-foot Emerald Buddha, who looks quite small. He's in a glass case, and he's in the kept in clothes. There are 3 suits of clothes for the basic 3 seasons they have in Thailand. At least they consider them to be 3. And all of them are made of gold, you know, woven gold cloth with jewels and different things. And he has a winter and a summer and a monsoon season sets of clothes. And the king himself changes the clothes 3 times a year according to religious ceremony. Anyway, moving all around, right along, all around the temple you'll have miscellaneous buildings. This is a bell tower. The temple will face onto a courtyard, and all around the courtyard you'll have a great many images of Buddha, each of which is slightly different according to the style that they're made in. Like, this might be in the style of this and this province at this and this time, and so on. Anyway, you would have Buddhas. This is one, I think, one half of one row of Buddhas. They'd be all along this side of the courtyard. Then there'd be a door. This is the back. And then there'd be another row, virtually identical to this, going to the other wall. And then along each wall, on the side facing you, you can see a little bit of it in the dark, there'd be another row just as long as the one we just described. So there are an awful lot of Buddha images on the approach to the main temple. sometimes they don't always have images of Buddha around the courtyard. In this particular case, in the royal palace, they had, I contend it's a mosaic. Barbara contends that it's a mural. Anyway, it just covers the entire wall, and it apparently has some sort of story. We couldn't get the entire scene of it in. This is an angle shot, trying to get as much as I could. But you can see you have different individuals doing different things, and so they'll have one of them which will show the invasion of a city, while you'd have one which is the life of the city, people doing this, that, and the other thing, and then you'll show an invasion and this, that, and the other thing, and so on. There's just so much information there that it's hard to get it in with a camera. To show you the amount of detail, this is a picture of one particular chariot, probably overlooking a battle, but the entire battle would have several chariots just like this, and they'll all be done with the same detail, and then hundreds of soldiers. They also do certain artistic effects, I believe. Some of the people are in darker colors because they're of lesser significance. And some of the people, in particular the person riding the chariot, is probably the king, and he's in very bright colors. And of course, his chariot is really intended to stand out. And then you have his nobles in moderate colors, and then the lowly slaves in dark colors. That's all presumption. We don't know that. So anyway, that concludes most of our temple tour. And now we're going to visit one last temple, which we've read about in the guidebook. In order to understand it, I'll tell a little story. You start out, you're walking along a street in Thailand. Now, Bangkok relies heavily on their canal for commerce, and I think one reason for it is because their streets are so terribly hectic. We were caught out in bad traffic a couple of times, and it's just incredible. For their cabs are relatively inexpensive, as they are throughout Asia. But on our ride from the airport, which might normally be a 20-minute ride, it took us an hour and 20 minutes, and the first hour or so was spent creeping along through traffic that we could have easily walked through at twice the speed. But they've got an awful lot of trucks and buses and cars. Their roads are, in the downtown areas, are too narrow to take the traffic. And rather than taking the approach which American cities have done of having lights which are coordinated so that you get a good traffic flow and making no left turns, but if you want to turn left, you have to make three rights, and a lot of one-way streets, so you make it harder to make that sort of turn. Instead, they just let their traffic be, and you get in these terrible traffic jams. A light will turn green, but you won't be able to go anywhere because the light above it is red and it's already completely backed up. So one or two cars will move forward, but they'll block the intersection. Then the light will go green for the other folks, but they can't go anywhere because the intersection is blocked by your folks and ahead of you. Finally, the light will turn green up ahead, and they'll move forward a few cars, and so those cars will get out of the intersection. But by then, the light will change, so only a couple of cars from the opposing direction will move out, and it just gets tied up in this terrible traffic jam. But anyway, so you have all this polluted, hectic, busy streets with cars and bicycles and pedestrians all competing, and we were walking through downtown Bangkok looking for this one particular temple that we wanted to see. And of course you have the market vendors, and it's hot, and the blaring horns, and we couldn't imagine that we were close to a temple, you know, but I looked at my map and said, gee, by rights, if we turn left and to go down this alley, we ought to find the temple. And we were very skeptical. And we walked down, and sure enough, the alleyway ended, and there was this gateway, and in we were in this temple. And this is a picture from the inside of the temple, and the contrast is really incredible, because you've had this noisy, hectic street, and you walk 12 feet, and then you're in this quiet, very peaceful sort of setting. They somehow managed to block out the sound when they designed the walls around their temples, but it really has a nice effect. You get more of a park-like atmosphere. The buildings of this temple, I presume, are relatively modern, but they've used the mosaics made with mirrors to very good effect, and these were particularly nice. This would be another building in the same complex, and again, they've done the same thing with their mirrors. And this would be another building in the complex. And yet another side entrance. Ah, yes. And just opposite that one building, there was this little out-of-the-way building that a lot of people were going into, and so we followed them up, and in this very undecorated building, those other buildings were fairly nicely decorated, this one was quite plain, we went in this very plain room, there was this image of Buddha, and this is a 5.5-ton cast solid gold Buddha. And while we were looking at him, I guess he's 12 feet tall and 8 feet across. And you can walk up to him. Well, as you can see, you have that person there almost within arm reach of him. And we were really impressed by that. While we were just sitting there, we did a calculation that the gold that makes him up itself would be worth something like, as a minimum, $30 million, and that's assuming a low price of gold. Right now, with current gold prices, he'd probably be worth $100 million, and of course, that's not saying that he was probably cast in 1200 AD, and he's an old, and he's carven or shaped in an image, which would probably make him priceless. But anyway, he was found the same way as the Emerald Buddha in a plaster Buddha a Buddhist priest was working on. He saw in the cracked gold image, they broke away the cast and found him. He has been found relatively recently, like in the last 10 years or so, and so they haven't built an appropriate temple for him. And it's odd because the Thai people don't put that much regard to the gold Buddha. The Emerald Buddha is highly treasured, but he's just a large object. But I was really impressed by the fact that I could walk up close enough to touch 5.5 tons of gold. Just a really mind-boggling experience. I will never personally own that much value. And we were also really surprised because there are no guards that were really obvious in the area. Of course, you figure with a 5.5-ton Buddha, you're not going to carry him away. There were lots of spectators there, and about half of them were Thai. And so they wouldn't approve of you doing any damage, and of course you'd probably call in the authorities if you did anything, but no one did. We really like that aspect of Thailand, that you could also get in close to the object you're watching. And this is a facial view of him. He's a very nicely done image of Buddha. Yeah. And that's it for Thailand.